Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus of our message today is on John chapter 14, the gospel reading you heard just a few moments ago. It is the appointed gospel reading for today, normally, but it's a great text for today's celebration of our confirmants as they make their commitment before the Lord, their family, and their friends. When I think of confirmation class, I think of this. I have a few former confirmands in the room who may remember this on the screen. Just a show of hands, anybody know where I'm going with this already? Okay, I got a couple. All right. So don't ruin it for everybody else is all I'm saying. All right, so you take a look at that and you're like, or you pick out maybe Ducks, Mr. Wang's Lib. I don't know. It's a little bit sketchy at this point. Let me do a little more clearing up here for you. Does that help? Grouping it a little bit. You got Mr. Ducks, Mr. Knot, Osmer, Wang, something like that. No. Anybody catching it yet? A few people, maybe? All right. Let's try this, and I'll give you a little bit longer to take a look at it. Just sort of say it to yourself. I'm not seeing too many light bulbs going on. Don't worry, it's not you, it's me. All right, so I'll give you a little hint. So you got to read it in the way, like, just pretend you're a couple of good old southern duck hunters. All right, let's do this. First hunter says, "Emmer ducks! Emmer not! OSMR Sam Wangs! Hell, I'll be MR ducks." All right, now what does that have to do with confirmation class? I know it's a bit of a leap. I'm going to take a little bit different direction, and then I'll come back. The Apostle Philip had just received word from the Lord that he needed to be on a certain road at a certain time. It was the highway to Gaza. He had just been running for his life. The persecution against the new church had broken out. He was running. He went to Samaria and there had some very interesting experiences as he starts to proclaim the word of the Lord. And he's seeing people being converted and he's healing people. And then there was that guy called Simon the sorcerer that you may know. It all ends beautifully with people being brought to faith in the furthering of God's kingdom. But now God comes to Philip and he says, "I want you on this road, go." Well, as he's walking along, lo and behold, by God's design, here is an Ethiopian treasury official. And he's rolling along in his chariot. He had just been to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And as God would have it, the Ethiopian is reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip comes up alongside and he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian replies, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" L-I-B. M-R ducks. Our confirmands have just spent the last few years learning and growing. In a very real way, they have, along with God's Word, their Heavenly Father, Martin Luther, their pastors, their parents, and their classmates. It's a big chariot. They just got into a very big chariot for the last few years to better understand what God's Word has to say. Yeah, you can look at God's Word and you can pick out a few things on your own, maybe kind of understand what the words say, but for it to really reach the heart, for it to really go deep down and root in you, you need to spend time in the Word with others. Confirmation class, you are encouraged by your fellow classmates, you are instructed by your pastors, your parents support you and even model for you what it's like to live a life of faith. But ultimately, it is about the Lord and getting to know him, because we know this. This is eternal life, Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father, that they may know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. It's really that simple. When you know Jesus, when you experience him and understand him and acknowledge him and receive him, you have eternal life. Last Sunday in the gospel reading, many of us heard how love marks us as those very people who know Jesus, disciples. As John puts it, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That means that all of us are his beloved. You, confirmands, have experienced this. You have known this. And now today you will say it as you publicly profess your love for your Lord from a heart filled with thanks for all that he has done for you. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't just show us his love so that we could say we love him in return. See, he knows that it's good for us too to know that we go beyond that, to show that we love him. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will hold on to my word. Now, I know that at first glance, it kind of sounds like a prove-it statement, huh? Well, if you really love me, then you're going to hold on to my word. It kind of reminds me of a story that author Emerson Eggerichs likes to tell about a husband and wife that are kind of going back and forth. And the husband, trying to support his point, says something like, honey, you know that I love you so much that I'd be willing to die for you. And his wife replies, you always say that, but you never do. Jesus isn't standing there with his hands on his hips saying, you say you love me, but you never show it. No, these words from Jesus are so profound that he showed us what it means to do that. He loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. And it's that love for us that compels us, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to love him in return. We're so moved to the very depths of our being by the love of Christ that we can't help but respond and say thank you with everything that we say and do. To be able to not just say we love Jesus, but to show that we love him. If anyone will be loving towards me, he will continue to hold on to my word. I mean, why have you spent these last years, confirmands, studying? Why are there a bunch of family and friends here today? Why is this such a big day? And it comes down to one word, love. Jesus' love for you and your love for Jesus in return. Let's face it, showing that love in action and in truth is not always going to be easy. In a few minutes, you're going to be uttering a bunch of I do's that sadly will often end up with admissions of, I haven't. That's why Jesus doesn't just lay out some expectation with hands on his hips. If anyone loves me, he will hold my teaching, hold my word. No, he immediately follows it up with a promise. He says, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This isn't a do it because I said so divine decree. This is Jesus guiding thankful hearts to respond in love. And then following it up with a promise of his very own love to be able to carry it out. I mean, even just this morning, maybe you caught the news, but in the last couple of weeks here, there have been a lot of tornadoes that have sort of been ravaging the country. There has been heartache and destruction, and there has been death. But in the midst of all of that, you see it on the news, don't you? That image of you've got a family that's standing there, and behind them is their house just completely destroyed. But they're staying strong. They're staying together because they are a family. What a beautiful picture of how God, our Heavenly Father, is with us. I mean, we were the ones who destroyed the house. We were the tornado of sin that just wiped out everything. And yet there's our Heavenly Father with us, making his home with us. He who does not love me does not hold on to my words. Yeah, Jesus said it. And because we couldn't, sin and death were the result, but our Heavenly Father longed to come to us and make a home with us once again. Oh, and in that greatest act of love the world has ever known, Jesus was crushed and crucified for your sins and mine. His innocent life was lived for you, replacing the guilty lives that we're guilty of. His suffering and death replacing the suffering and death that we should have suffered and died. And his rising from the dead is that guarantee that you too, you and I, will rise with him as well. His love for us again and again compels us to respond for all of this that he's done for us. Silas, I have seen firsthand in your life a desire to make the most of any and every situation. One example is turning an 8-mile bike ride with your mom into a trip to Dairy Queen. Not planned, but it worked out really well. Jesus now calls you to recognize the opportunities that he gives you, to make the most of them, to be able to share your faith and let your light shine. He wants you to seize these opportunities, always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Evan, the Lord has blessed you with a big heart for people. I can still remember the day that you were about half your size now, about this tall, just came up alongside me and just kind of did one of these, and without saying a word, just walked away. It's a big heart for people. It's a love and compassion that God has blessed you with. And he now calls you to show that love to the world around you, to live your light of faith, building others up according to their needs. Rachel, you have showed a determination in your life that is remarkable. I hope I'm remembering this right, but your mom will probably verify one way or the other. But my first memory of Rachel is probably about maybe two, three. And you, every time I saw you, you were wearing this Vikings cheerleader outfit and Crocs. And according to your mom, that was all you were determined to wear. God now calls on you to use that determination in your life, to be able to be that light that shines, to be able to be that touch point, that center point for the people around you as they see you living your life, standing firm in one spirit, contending for the faith of the gospel. God has blessed the three of you so richly, but he's blessed each and every one of us that are here today with gifts and opportunities to not just say we love Jesus, but to show our love for Jesus, to live that love for Jesus, not because we have anything to prove, Jesus has already proved it, not that we have anything to do because Jesus has already done it. No, we do it because of his love for us, because we are so thankful for all that he has done for us. We can, with total commitment, rely on his complete promise. The word that you are hearing is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while staying with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. Just as in our first reading for today, Elisha's servant, it was revealed to him the power of the Lord to his eternal confidence. We find the strength we need to love our Lord in actions and in truth. We need not be afraid. We need not be troubled. His grace will cover your failures. His Spirit will sanctify us and make us holy in this life. His peace remains at work in us, even as we see it at work around us. This is his promise to you. This is his love for you. This is what it means for him to make his home with you, keeping you in God's love as you continue to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which results in eternal life. This, then, is your eternal confidence, dearly beloved, now and forever. Amen.